Okay, Bibles, John 17. Let's go. So I'm tasked with preaching on the Trinity and specifically looking at mission. And then you think, okay, so we had worship and it was all about God and daddy love, like how it just pours into us. And then you think, okay, so that's a massive like knee jerk to go from that to mission, right? It couldn't be more opposite. You think, okay, mission's about doing stuff and love's about receiving stuff. And it just feels quite juxtaposed. What I want to say to you, that is a complete load of rubbish. And we're going to unpick that lie as we look through John 17. Because this is what Jesus said in John 17, 18. He said, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And we all know this. We all know that we are called to be sent into the world to evangelize, to basically bring others to the knowledge of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to bring the kingdom of heaven, to pray for the sick, to love people really well, to be kind, to do acts of generosity, to do mission. That's what bringing the kingdom of heaven is. And I'm sure we all know the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 onwards. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of my commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Okay, if you didn't know, I lead an evangelism school on Friday mornings with a team of us. And you know what? It's really like stripped out my understanding of mission. And the more I've been doing this course for 4 months, the more I've understood that it's less about doing stuff and more about knowing that I'm loved and then showing that love. And I just have to let you know that I am often scared and often worried and often anxious and often fearful. And you guys know me. You know that most weeks I share my faith, I pray for someone, I see miraculous healings, I do the stuff regularly and consistently. And every time I pretty much do it, I do it with fear and anxiety and stress. But luckily, I have a personality type that just steps over that barrier. But not all of us do. And when you don't have that personality type, every time someone like me stands up, you sit there and feel rubbish about your faith. Because you think, well, I'm just not that kind of way. I'm just not like Dave or those other guys that do that. And even if you do have that personality type like me and you do get over that barrier, there are other barriers. What happens when God doesn't come through? What happens when what I think's going to happen doesn't happen? What if I say the wrong thing? Like, I think I remember having this conversation with a guy in Wood Green. He was a Muslim guy. He was like, you know, promoting Islam. I was promoting Jesus. And I just got really angry with him. I just wanted to punch him. And you think, that's the best version of the gospel ever, isn't it? Hitting someone because you're angry. I didn't actually hit him before we go there, but it was just, I just got angry. So you think, okay, there is a problem there, isn't there? There is a serious problem. And the problem is, yeah, if you didn't know, there is a big problem there. The problem is, I'm not perfected by daddy's love. That is the problem. I am not perfected by daddy's love. And I'm sure many of us identify with Peter, the apostle. Peter was like that kind of, you know, bravado guy. He was really like, Jesus, I'll live for you. And when it got to the point of testing in a temple courtroom in front of a little girl and some other people, he's like, no, I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. When it got to, he was saying all the right stuff, but when it came to the crunch, fear of death nailed him and he rejected Jesus. Hands up if you identify with Peter. I am in the camp of Peter. Okay, hands up if you identify with this guy. In Acts, thanks Dorla for this morning, it's either in 3 or 4, but there is a crippled guy, lame guy, sat by the temple. And every day he's watching religious priests walk into the temple. And they're going in and then they're coming out and he's just there. He wants to be where God is. But the religion of the day means you're not allowed inside. You're not allowed to where God is. Okay, hands up if you want to be a bit closer to God, but you're caught up in some sort of religion. Yeah, I'm in. I am caught up in some aspects of Christian religion that actually stop me encountering the fullness of God. And today is a day of breakthrough. Because you know what happened with Peter? He was in an upper room at one moment of time, and the Holy Spirit dropped on him like a bomb. And it says that tongues of fire were on their heads. And then Peter left that room and preached a gospel to a city that had killed Jesus a few, like 50 days previous. They had nailed him to a cross. And Peter knew by saying that Jesus was the Messiah was punishable by stoning. Okay, just think about it. Something amazing must have had to have happened in that room. Because he got up and preached a sermon saying, in Christ alone is salvation. In Christ alone is the forgiveness of sin. What happened? Because he should have been stoned. And he would have known, saying that sermon, he was going to be stoned, right? Think about it. He would have known he was going to get stoned for saying that Jesus Christ was Messiah. Yet he had the courage at that moment where when a servant girl challenged him, he didn't. What was the difference? Holy Spirit fully revealed to him the heart of God. He knew perfect love. Because it says the Spirit reveals all truth. What truth? The heart of the Father for you. It's a game changer. What happened to the guy at the temple court? Peter and John walked past. They saw him, said, silver and gold, we don't have that, but we can give you this, a divine miracle. Now you've had the divine miracle. You're not stuck in the bondage of religion because you're healthy. Now you can go into the temple. Church, we need to allow our own religious ways to be dropped off. So like Peter and John, we can be ill-religious and allow people to see God the Father for who he really is. We need to have Holy Spirit encounters with God that shape us. Because the call to love like Christ's love is impossible without knowing Christ's love. And therefore, I'm tasked with preaching on the Trinity and preaching on Jesus being sent when I know that it's all about us knowing the love of God. So I'm going to marry the two things up as best I can and pray for me that I do it well. Because I believe that earlier in worship, we had an appetizer. And now that appetizer is going to be solidified with God's word, which is truth. And it's going to be meaty. And I'm going to preach and I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit that that truth is going to be pushed deep into your soul, deep into your heart. And there'll be a time and a moment towards the end of the sermon where we just let it rest on us. Just let the truth soak in. And then we're going to say, Holy Spirit, come. And who knows what's going to happen. But if worship was anything like it was a moment ago, I'm believing for amazing things. Because on Friday, me, Dorla and Manuela and Cooley ended up on the floor hiding behind sofas because God dropped on us. And we were like, oh, this hasn't happened ever. So who knows what will happen. Carol Arnott, a pastor at Catch the Fire Ministries, says this, if you have the fruit, you have the root. It's not a riddle. So let me explain it. If you have an inability to receive love, to love others, if you struggle with insecurity, withdrawing, suspicion of other people's views of you, social shyness, fear of failure, fear of man, fear of rejection, you daydream a lot, you fantasize about a life that you don't have, you worry, you spend a lot of time in isolation or you isolate yourself from others, you struggle with depression, anger, coldness, lack of empathy, you know what that is? That is the fruit of rejection and not knowing love. Now, we've all experienced a form of love, right? My parents certainly love me. I certainly give love to others. But is it perfect? Is it perfect? No, it's not. But Jesus has none of these issues. Jesus doesn't know, doesn't have the fruit of these issues because he knows perfect love. So let's get into a Bible verse. John 17, verse 21. And I pray that they, which is talking about believers, will be one, just as you and I are one, talking about him and the Father. As you are in me and I in you. Father, sorry, I missed it up. Just as you and I are one. as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, that the world would believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you loved me as much as you love me. So, and you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me before the beginning of the world or before the world began. The foundation of God the Son is everlasting love, everlasting perfect unity. Before the creation of the universe, before time began, what was the Father doing? He was loving on the Son and the Holy Spirit. What was Jesus doing? He was loving on the Father and the Holy Spirit. What was the Holy Spirit doing? He was loving on the Father and the Son. What were they doing? They were enjoying one another. They were loving one another. They were in perfect unity. Not only did Jesus know perfect unity, have perfect unity, know perfect love, and have perfect love, he actually is those things. He didn't just know them, he actually is them. God is love. The Father is love, the Son is love, the Holy Spirit is love. They can be nothing else. But Jesus responds to perfect love with perfect obedience. With faultless obedience. Jesus didn't send himself to earth. He isn't the most loving part of the Trinity. He wasn't the one that said, oh, I'll go because I'm more loving than you other two. That's not how it went down. In perfect unity, they made a rescue plan. But it was the Father that sent the Son. In John 17, verses 3, 8, 18, 21, 23, and 25, it says, the Father sent Jesus. Let me say it again. In verses 3, 8, 18, 21, 23, and 25, it says, the Father sent him. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to comprehend. What did that look like? What did that conversation look like? How did it go? I imagine something like this. The Father being so deeply grieved by the separation of Adam and Eve's sin, his separation from his creation, his separation from us, turns to the Son and says, will you go to earth? Will you restore humanity back to us? I know it's going to cost you everything. You'll have to become a man, laying down all of your divine abilities. You'll have to become exactly like a man, yet still live a sinless life. The full punishment of every person's sin will have to be executed onto you, Jesus. That every human life would be able to be free and able to be restored back to us. Jesus the Son looked into the Father's eyes, tears rolling down his face as he understood the Father's sadness, the grief of the Father's heart, that he was separated from his creation. Because the very essence of the Father is to create, to love, and to give life. Jesus, now acutely aware of what was needed to be done, says, I'm ready to go. I gladly give it all up. I'll gladly become like a man. I'll gladly experience his limitations so we can restore our wonderful creation back to us. I know it will cost me everything, including my life, but I know that you love me, and therefore I'm happy to go. The Holy Spirit looks at Jesus and says, I will be with you always. I will constantly remind you of who you are, of heaven's reality, of our everlasting love for you. I will pour my very being upon you, that although you'd be limited to man's abilities, in me you wouldn't be. And you'd be the perfect example of what humanity can do in right relationship with the Father, knowing the Father's love and perfectly empowered by the Spirit. You'll be the author and perfecter of true faith. Now that is not a Bible verse. That is something I made up. Okay? It's a lot of Bible verses put together. But it's kind of what I imagine happened. Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father flowed out of a perfect knowledge of love and unity with Father and Holy Spirit. This is what makes this prayer in John 17 that we're kind of dipping in, so amazing. It's the key to being sent and on mission, not out of duty, not out of legalistic ritual, not because you have to be a good Christian, but because you're madly in love. And love does crazy things. And love self-sacrifices. It's the overflow. And the reality is our lack of obedience to God, to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, is a lack of knowing his love. It's the fruit of experiencing rejection and a lack of knowing unity with God. We all sin, right? We all sin, right? Yes, we do. We all fall short of God's glory. Many of us, when we sin, we hide from God. Like Adam, we hide. But not only do we hide from God, we don't go to church for 4 weeks. It's true. I've sinned, therefore I'm ashamed, therefore I don't want to hang out with anyone who's going to make me feel bad, so I'm going to isolate myself. So we avoid church. We avoid the Bible. We avoid prayer. We avoid fellowship. We get crushed. Because we have a very real enemy called Satan that wants to isolate you and get you on your own, and he wants to ruin your life. Like, you have no idea how much he wants to kill you, okay? And how much he wants to make you sick and keep you in poverty. Think about it. The first sin, Adam and Eve in the garden. The second sin, murder. That's a massive jump, right? First sin, disobedience. Second sin, murder. What happened to being angry? What happened to the cheeky slap in the face? They're all sin, but that's a massive jump because the devil wants to kill you. But God wants to save your life. He wants to love on you. He wants to draw you into a relationship. He promises you an abundant life. The Father desires you. He longs for a relationship. So let's look at this verse 21 in John 17 and go down a few verses. We'll take them section by section. Verse 21. And I pray that they, which is all believers, including us here today, will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. Jesus is praying that we would all be one, that we would be in God, in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit, just as they are one, that we would be drawn into oneness with them. Not that we would become God, but that we'd be included in their perfect love and their perfect unity. And may they, that being us, be in God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so the world would believe that you sent me. When we are experiencing perfect love and perfect unity, when we're experiencing what God experiences every day, it's going to change the way you live, right? Like, we see it with children all the time. Children that come from loving backgrounds just do life very differently from those that don't. So when we are in that mix, experiencing perfect love and unity, actually, we're going to be Christians that look different from Christians that aren't experiencing that. And it's not a given. Although it's given that God wants us to be there, it's not a given that we are going to position ourselves to receive that. Verse 22, and I have given them the glory you gave me. What? I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. You have been given the glory that the Father gave to the Son. The same glory that the Father gave to the Son, the Son now gives to you. I don't even know what that means, just to be frank. I have no idea what that means. But it sounds wicked. That the same glory that the Prince of Heaven has is now given to me and to you. As I say, I don't know what it means, but God, I want to know what that means. because that's going to change how I live. And it goes on to say why he's done it, though. That we would be one as they are one. Verse 23, I am in them, Jesus talking about us. I am in them and you are in me. Father, you are in Jesus. May they experience such perfect unity. With who? With each other only? No. With each other and with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That the world would know that you sent me. You see, this whole little section of John 17 is contrasting extraordinary, mind-blowing love and glory given to us and mission. Where so often in the church, we separate them out. You're either a loving church or a missional church. You either do church like an army or you do church like a family. The family doesn't do mission, the army does mission. The army has casualties. Ooh. And the family has less casualties, because there are casualties in families, we know that. But we want to be God's family. We want to be God's family. It didn't say that Jesus was the commander or the major of the admiral or the general. It said he was the son of the Father. Primarily, before you're a slave to righteousness, you are a beloved son or daughter. Before anything in the kingdom, you are adopted first. There are other things that we are, but we are sons and daughters first. And that is so important, because Jesus was a son before he was anything else. Last bit. And that you, the Father, love them as much as you love me, the Son. The Father loves us as much as he loves his Son, Jesus, who he's been loving before the world began. Again, I don't really know what that looks like or how to experience it, but it's a lot better than anything else I've experienced, right? We just have to be frank. It's okay to not really know, because we're talking about the things of God, not the things of man. But we want to experience them. Going to ask the band to come back. That'd be very helpful as we wrap this thing up. You know, all of us here, we've experienced rejection. All of us struggle with fear on some level. And all of us respond differently to that rejection and that fear. But primarily our response is unhealthy. Primarily our response is unhealthy. There are moments when actually our response is fine because God's at work in us. But that is why so many of us struggle with being on mission, with praying for others, with evangelism, because we don't have a capacity for any more rejection. Hands up if you want more rejection in your life. No one. Hands up if you want more fear in your life. What about more worry? More isolation? More depression? No, you just don't want these things, do we? We just don't want these things. That's why we're afraid to go out onto the streets. We're afraid to share with our neighbours. We're worried, we're anxious, because actually Jesus promises us that when we share the gospel, there is going to be some rejection. And we know that. We know that. So therefore, many of us avoid it. And then we feel rubbish. Jesus knows our frailty. He knows our weakness. He knows our struggles. He knows our fears. He knows our anxiety, because he became like us. Yet he did not sin. Jesus prays that we would know the Father's words, that we would be made holy. And ultimately, he gives his life for that to happen. Look at verse 13 in this chapter. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with joy. What things did Jesus say that would enable his disciples to be filled with joy? Verse 6 tells us that he revealed the Father to them. As your revelation of God the Father increases, your joy in God increases. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father, that you would have deep-rooted joy. It goes on, I have given them your word, and the world hates them, because they do not belong to the world. That's why you experience rejection, because your home is in heaven. You don't belong here. That's why you experience it, because people cannot actually understand what you are saying. It's like a child that's never experienced love. Actually, there's a better story than that. It's like a child that's never been given food, and then you lay food out in front of them. They wouldn't actually know to eat it, because they would not know it's food. When we present Jesus to people that have never heard of Jesus, they don't actually know what to do with it. And unless the Holy Spirit brings conviction, they will reject it, because it's the Holy Spirit that draws us into the heart of God through the sacrifice of Christ. It goes on in this verse, I am not asking you to take them out of the world. Jesus isn't asking that we get taken out of this world right now. No, he's saying, keep them safe. Keep them safe, Father. They don't belong to this world any more than I do, but make them holy. Make them saints. Teach them your word, which is truth, because it helps you to stand firm. Jesus stood on the love and truth of the Father. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I have given myself as a holy sacrifice so they can be made holy by your truth. Jesus sends us out, church, to save an unbelieving world, knowing what we're experiencing. And he is crying out to the Father for you right now in heavenly places, interceding that you would know the Father's heart, that you would know that you're adopted, that you would know that you're beloved, that when you experience rejection and pain, you'd be able to stand firm in the acceptance and grace of God overflowing in your heart, that human rejection wouldn't faze you anymore because you understand heavenly acceptance, heavenly love, that human pain would have no impact on you because you know the love of the Father, the love of the Son. He's contrasting the two constantly. And so often we're so concerned about worldly pain and worldly hurt that we forget that we are heavenly accepted. And it brings such freedom and such truth. Jesus ends like this. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know that you sent me, and I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Church, Jesus makes the Father known to you. Jesus restores your heart, and we have to respond to that. So the band will just play in the background, then I just want you to sit there and just let Daddy speak to you.